It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eaten Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. NFC style, week 12 in the National Football League. It is, as they say, nut cutting time, which, by the way, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds good. It's nut cutting time in your fantasy league. We are coming down the home stretch. You got to get in the playoffs somehow, some way. You've come to the right place to make sure you set your lineup correctly. He is the czar of rotoworld.com and one of the best fantasy football experts from Marquette University ever. I am Ross Tucker. I played at Princeton, which is just churning out fantasy experts on a yearly basis. That's really where most of our fellow graduates are going, is into the fantasy football industry. RossTucker.com is the hub for this podcast and any other podcast if you ever want to find it. And we really appreciate those of you that spread the word via social media. All we ask for is a tweet, a retweet, a like, whatever. He's at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. The producer, Brian, is the first one to know when these bad boys are ready, up and posted at RTF Podcast or Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Let's roll, and we'll start, as we do typically on Thursdays, with the perfect mix for your fantasy lineup this week. Evan, give me some quarterbacks. Give me some defenses.
Joe Flacco indoors at the Superdome. Possible shootout. Andy Dalton lit up that Saints D last week. Flacco. The other one, Josh McCown, Ross's boy, back at his old stomping grounds at Soldier Field. You know, we tried to go after this Bears D last week with Teddy Bridgewater, and that did not work out. Teddy Bridgewater is not very good, by the way. I would be a little concerned about him. But Josh McCown has been playing really well, actually now consistently moving the Tampa Bay offense. The Bears' pass defense has allowed a 14-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio over their last four games. Mike Evans is a freak of nature, and Vincent Jackson is kind of due. If due is a real thing, Vincent Jackson is due. So Josh McCown playing well against a bad D, and with a little bit of narrative street there too, against his old team.
What about defenses?
Indy versus Jacksonville. Blake Bortles has been fantasy defense streamers' best friend all year. Turnover machine. Philadelphia is a defense that might be owned in a lot of leagues, and that's why we will talk about another, you know, probably defense that is not owned next. But love Philly D against Zach Mettenberger in Philly. And then San Diego defense, which did not deliver against Derek Carr last week, but will now be facing the Rams. Sean Hill had a good game, you know, for him by his standards last week. But, you know, when guys like him start to play more, their weaknesses get exposed. The Chargers defense is back at full strength, has Melvin Ingram back, who's a very disruptive outside linebacker, and is starting to come together a little bit in the secondary. I know they lost Verrett, but Brandon Flowers is 100%, and, you know, they're healthy in the other spots. I like San Diego at home against St. Louis.
Interesting. Let's roll.
Next meal.
First up, the Atlanta Falcons. They're at home against the Cleveland Browns.
They've won 2 weeks in a row. They're not exactly lighting the world on fire, but they are at home. The Browns aren't going to be without Carlos Dansby, might be without Jabal Sheard, but they still have Joe Hayden and the rest of that secondary. Do you like Julio Jones, Roddy White in their matchups?
I do. Matt Ryan has been much better indoors this year at home than he has been on the road. And I like that factor for him. I think that Joe Hayden will definitely chase around Julio Jones. The Browns used Joe Hayden in that manner against Andre Johnson last week. I mean, there were very few snaps when they were not aligned. It did not matter where Andre Johnson ran, Joe Hayden was going to be there to go get him. That doesn't mean that Julio Jones is going to do nothing, but I think that the game shakes out well on paper for Roddy White to have a good game against Kawan Williams and Buster Skrine. The opposing number two receivers have been lighting up the Browns for much of the year, and Roddy White has been balling over his last four games. I like, if you're in a daily league, if you can roll out that stack of Matt Ryan and Roddy White, I think that's a really strong stack on FanDuel or DraftKings. Shake off what Matt Ryan has done recently. He's back indoors against a defense that got zero pressure on Ryan Mallett last week.
Next meal.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Chicago Bears.
Well, kind of already know how you feel about Tampa offensively and Josh McCown. What about the Bears? Cutler came alive. Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, I mean, Forte. It was like it's supposed to be.
Yeah, the Vikings game plan was poor. They stuck eight in the box, played man coverage on the outside, and, I mean, Josh Robinson couldn't hang with Jeffrey or Marshall, and it was just a mismatch all day long. Mike Zimmer was clearly – there was an intent behind it, but, I mean, because he was trying to stop Matt Forte and make Cutler beat him, but Cutler did beat him. So, yeah, I mean, that's just kind of how a game goes. Now, this week, Jay Cutler is kind of a see-it-throw-it kind of passer. He's not an anticipation passer. And historically, he has struggled. He's had a lot of success against man defenses, and he has struggled against zone defenses. You can be sure that Lovie Smith and his Tampa 2 style, he's going to be in zone all day. I think this is a trap game, actually, for Jay Cutler. And people are going to look at it and be like, oh, my God, they're going against the Buccaneers. They have a terrible pass defense. I think Cutler struggles in this one. That doesn't mean that he can't come out of it with 250 yards and two touchdowns, but just don't be surprised if he throws, if he starts turning the ball over again against Lovie Smith's D. And Lovie Smith actually knows him pretty darn well, was his head coach for 4 years. That doesn't mean bench any of these guys. They can still get fantasy stats even when they turn the ball over. I think they're all starters, Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett as well. But just don't be surprised if Cutler throws like three or four picks.
Next meal.
The Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, let's talk first about the Packers. I don't know. Based on what the Bears just did to the Vikings, is there even a point to talk about the Packers? Aaron Rodgers is playing out of his gourd right now. Is there anybody that is on a fantasy team? Cobb, Nelson, Eddie Lacy, they're all starts, no-brainers, right?
Yeah, the guy to talk about is Devontae Adams, who the Packers have now played two straight games where their primary offense was two tight ends. And in those sets, they take the third receiver off the field. Devontae Adams' snap percentage has gone from 96% 3 games ago to like 50-60% over the last two games. So that reduces his window to fill up the box score. I still think he's in play. He scored a touchdown last week. He's still in play as a third receiver in fantasy and on daily league sites. But, the risk has increased. He doesn't have the fantasy floor that he did when he was out there on every single snap.
How about the Vikings? You mentioned it. It was a struggle for Teddy Bridgewater. Is there anything that gives you any hope in this matchup against the Packers for any of their skill guys? Jerick McKinnon. Should I play Jerick McKinnon?
It's a game where the Packers could blow them out in the first quarter, and then that would reduce rushing attempts for the team that is behind. I'm concerned about Teddy Bridgewater. He's small. He doesn't appear to have a whole lot of talent, to be perfectly frank with you. With some of these rookie quarterbacks, Derek Carr, Blake Bortles, you have things to hang your hat on. You have a strong arm. You have, you know, plus athleticism. With Teddy Bridgewater, you don't really have a whole, you know, any of that. I mean, if you've seen him play, and he's starting to look shell-shocked. And, I mean, some of that is due to the fact that Matt Khalil looks like a bust, but some of it is, you know, I mean, he drops his eyes, and he doesn't throw the ball downfield, and when he does, it's not happening. So the Vikings offense is a nightmare right now, and it looks like, you know, no Adrian Peterson the rest of the way.
You know what else we talk about? Before you even do next meal, Brian, this is my fault. You know why? Because I'm sitting here thinking, is there anything worse than going to the post office this time of year? I'm literally, as Evan's talking, I'm like, I just don't want to go to the post office. Thank goodness I have stamps.com. I don't have to get involved with the traffic, the parking. It's packed. I'd much rather just sit here and do podcasts with Evan Silva than go to the post office. Thankfully, I signed up a couple years ago for stamps.com, when you can do everything you do at the post office right from your desk, buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer, print postage for any letter or package the instant you need it, and the mailman picks it up. Small business, medium-sized business, absolute no-brainer. I use it when I send out autographed memorabilia for people that listen to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You should as well. How about these special offers? We got two of them. Number one, if you use our promo code FANTASY, you get a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer includes a digital scale up to $55 free postage. The second offer is we offer to answer your question, your specific question for your fantasy team with your lineup. Think about it next week, Monday, Tuesday, when it gets to that point. Sign up for stamps.com. You got to win it. You got to get in the playoffs. Send me the email, ross@rostucker.com. Forward that bad boy to me and with your question in it, and we'll ask it. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in fantasy. That's stamps.com. Enter fantasy.
Next meal.
Let's talk about the Detroit Lions. They are at the New England Patriots.
Their offense is a mess right now. It's just weird, Evan, with the dudes they have. I think the biggest reason has been their offensive line is just not as good as it was last year. And, you know, I know they've got a new right guard, whatever, but I think part of that has to go on Joe Lombardi. And he came in, and now look at this. I mean, it's they're not good offensively. They're just not, and they've got talent everywhere.
Yeah, and every week there's somebody new out, you know. I mean, last week it was Reggie Bush. The tight ends have not been a big part of the offense at all season long. This is not going to be an easy matchup for them. I don't think Matthew Stafford's a fantasy starter at this point. I mean, you can hope that they get involved in a shootout against New England, but New England has the horses to match up with them really well, especially in the secondary. I mean, you're not benching Calvin Johnson, but I don't think that Matthew Stafford is going to have a big game. And there is serious reason to believe that Darrell Revis will be on Golden Tate in this game, because he spent a lot of time on Reggie Wayne, another slot receiver. Last week, the Boston Herald's Jeff Howe suggested that he thinks that Revis will be on Golden Tate this week. I agree with you. I don't see the Lions scoring more than maybe 17 points. I think this is not a good game for Stafford. I just don't.
Next meal.
The Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Tennessee Titans.
What a difference a week makes for the Eagles. They lit up the Panthers, then they did very, very little against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. I thought Sanchez's performance was concerning, not just because they lost or whatever, but he was taking sacks that he should not have taken. He was not getting the ball out. He missed Riley Cooper for a touchdown, missed Darren Sproles for a touchdown. Do you expect them to get right back in rhythm and everybody eating against the Titans? And based on what Le'Veon Bell did Monday night, is this a game where Shady McCoy can finally go off?
Yeah, you know, I think we talked about it last week that we kind of anticipated Mark Sanchez not exactly looking great at Lambeau against one of the better, really one of the better defenses from a pass defense standpoint in football. So I wasn't totally surprised that Mark Sanchez struggled on the field. I mean, he still had a great box score game, but that wasn't surprising. You know, when Mark Sanchez faces adversity, things can go downhill quickly. And that happened. At least he, you know, kept his head above water and came back and got some garbage time stats. And he's not going to face adversity at home against Tennessee, I don't think. So I think this is a good bounce back spot for him. Jordan Matthews has been his guy. Jeremy Maclin has also, you know, stayed going. And I agree with you. The Titans are on a short week. They just got pounded by the running game. This should be a LeSean McCoy game. I think the Eagles might put up 35 points and, you know, pretty much start everybody that you've been starting to this point.
What's up, you mutts? It's Kevin Clancy, better known as KFC from BarstoolSports.com, the most popular guy website online. Now we're doing the Barstool Network, which is everything that's great about Barstool, brought to you in podcast form. We've got two podcasts. Mail Time is for the average working guy in the cubicle looking to escape his day with relatable stories of 9-to-5 life. KFC Radio is like every drunken guy's conversation with his friends, but with me and your favorite other Barstool personalities.
Download it now at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Next meal.
The St. Louis Rams at the San Diego Chargers.
Well, we already talked about the Chargers, obviously, on the AFC Fantasy Feast podcast. Let's talk about the Rams. I mean, I don't know how many leagues Kenny Britt was owned. I'm sure nobody really was playing him last week, but where are you with Kenny Britt now?
I mean, who else are they going to throw to? You know, they got Jared Cook. I mean, Kenny Britt is just an entirely opportunity play. So, and sometimes that will work and sometimes that won't work, you know, so it might work. We'll see.
What about Trey Mason? It feels like they've kind of settled on him now.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely have. I mean, he had almost 30 carries last week. So you're feeling good about him. The Chargers run defense has been mediocre, I'd say. So nothing to fear there. Dre Mason is a good start this week, and he doesn't have very many favorable matchups left. So if he's going to have a big game, this would probably be it.
Next meal.
The Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks.
This one feels like a low-scoring game. You know, Arizona, Seattle, they both got the defenses. Drew Stanton threw a couple of early touchdown passes. Then after that, he was not really very good. Now he goes up to the Pacific Northwest to play a Seahawks defense, which really it's not what it used to be, Evan. It just really isn't.
Yeah, it's not, but it'll get better. I mean, they have faced so many injuries in the secondary this year. So I don't know if you can say, oh, you know, they're not the same, because we haven't really seen them at full strength and, you know, with continuity, you know, in a good sample size. I mean, I think that on the road at Seattle, Drew Stanton is not going to look good.
I don't think he will either. So he's not a good choice to stream Drew Stanton this week, if anybody had that in mind, which I doubt anybody did. What about Ellington, Fitzgerald? The one point I would make on Fitzgerald, it sounds like he's going to try to play with it, but second-degree sprained MCL, I have him in one of my leagues, and I might look elsewhere. I want to make sure. I know he played last week, but I want to make sure that he can really be productive with that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great week to put him on your bench. You know, he's hurt, and he's playing at Seattle, and really – he's done nothing in Drew Stanton's starts. I mean, he hasn't scored a touchdown. He hasn't gone over, I don't know, 50 yards in any of Drew Stanton's starts. All the Cardinals wide receivers have been all over the map with Drew Stanton at quarterback. There is no – you can look at all the trends, and there's nothing there to see that, you know, something is predictable But among these Cardinals wide receivers, if I was going to pick one to start, I would go with John Brown, because those big Seahawks wide receiver or cornerbacks tend to struggle with little speed receivers, and that's what John Brown is. So if I was going to pick one of the Cardinals wide receivers to start at Seattle, and I'm not feeling great about doing that in the first place, but I would go with John Brown.
What about the opposite? Is there a Seahawks receiver that you would feel good about starting?
I mean, Doug Baldwin plays in the slot, so he should, in theory, avoid Patrick Peterson and Antonio Cromartie, unless the Cardinals decide to move Patrick Peterson and go shadow him in the slot, which they really haven't done a whole lot of that. It'll probably be Jerod Powers, and that would, you know, I would consider that a better matchup. Patrick Peterson has started to play really well recently, and Doug Baldwin is an okay start, not great. You know, these defenses are great, man. I mean, you can't expect big games from offensive skill position players in a game where, you know, the over-under is like 42 points and both sides have – I know you said that the Seahawks don't have a great defense, but I think that they are an imposing defense in Seattle, and Arizona definitely has a great defense.
I'm with you. I guess my point on the Seahawks is last year it felt like they had, like, especially in the playoffs, like a legendary defense.
Right,
now they're just
right.
Pretty good this year. I mean, you know what I mean? They're just not – you can score points against them. You can make some plays against them. Whereas last year it felt like – I mean, they destroyed the Broncos in the Super Bowl, and it just doesn't feel that way as much anymore.
Next meal.
The Washington Redskins at the San Francisco 49ers.
Ugh, I mean, I don't really like either one of these offenses right now. I guess we'll start with the Redskins. I mean, that was putrid on Sunday. It feels like they're in total disarray. RG3 missed DeSean Jackson on 3 touchdowns. I mean, what are you recommending to people if they own, you know, Alfred Morris or DeSean Jackson, especially DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon?
DeSean Jackson would be the only guy that I would think about, because, you know, I mean, he just has that big playability, and they, you know, they get the ball to him on screens and he can get over the top. So, I mean, he can pay off with just one play over the course of, you know, 70 offensive snaps. So he's not a guy that I would put on my bench, but the rest of the guys, you know, I know that Niles Paul is going to get a start, I get probably at tight end with Jordan Reed out, but you're on your own. You know, I mean, the coach and the quarterback don't like each other. The quarterback isn't good. I don't see the Redskins running on the 49ers with Alfred Morris. They could fall behind, and then Alfred Morris becomes a complete non-factor. The Redskins are a dumpster fire.
What about the Niners? Because they picked off Eli Manning 5 times. Still only scored 1 touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what you're going to get from Colin Kaepernick. You never know what you're going to get from the 49ers offense. There's no consistency. There's no rhythm. That's probably how Colin Kaepernick is always going to be. You know, I mean, at this stage of his career, I think that you can say that somewhat confidently. And look, I mean, the Redskins have a really bad defense, and they're a team that is going down, has already gone down the tubes. So if Colin Kaepernick's going to have a monster game, this might be it. You know, this could be it. I think he gives you a lot of upside in this game.
So maybe Colin Kaepernick is a guy that you might want to consider at something like DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. It's one-week fantasy. So you don't have to make a season-long commitment to Kaepernick. Just play him. He's not valued that highly this week. Got an injured player, no problem. Pick your team in minutes. You could be on your way to winning huge cash. This season, one listener turned $10 into $5,000. Listen, you heard on yesterday's AFC Fantasy Feast from Travis Spieth. He did it. He was the first guy to win $1 million playing daily fantasy. Guy won $1 million, 42% taxes. He was telling me about that. But $1 million. Still, after the 42%, are you kidding me? It's unbelievable, and it could be you. You could be next. Just playing fantasy football at DraftKings.com, you can win $1 million. Get free entry into their $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Be like Travis. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code FEAST to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter FEAST for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. FEAST, baby!
Next meal.
The Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants.
Sunday night football. I will be there on the sidelines for Westwood One. It's probably going to be very, very cold. Maybe I should have said, no, I can't do that game. But I will bundle up. I will wear layers. And I will want to know ahead of time if I can count on Odell Beckham Jr. or Rashad Jennings to get some fantasy points. What say you, Roto World Silva?
Yeah, I think that Odell Beckham has produced in, you know, even situations where the Giants offense obviously isn't humming, and he's still been very productive. I mean, he's a playmaker. He reminds me of Antonio Brown, maybe even a more athletic version of Antonio Brown. Oof. And, you know, I think that you start him every single week at this point. Rashad Jennings, look, we've talked about this all year. The Cowboys will dominate you in time of possession, but if you can keep the game competitive for an extended stretch, you can run the football on them. I mean, they allow over 5 yards per carry. So Rashad Jennings has a good matchup. It's just, can they keep the game competitive to the point where the Giants can feed him? I would definitely start him, but there is some risk there.
What about for the Dallas Cowboys? They are coming off of a bye. I'm assuming with what the Seahawks did on the ground against the Giants that everybody's playing DeMarco Murray, you're playing Dez Bryant. I mean, who are the guys to even legitimately talk about on the Cowboys from a matchup perspective? Witten and Terrence Williams maybe?
So I think that, yeah, but let's talk about this. The Cowboys probably have the best running game in the NFL. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Who has the worst run defense in the NFL?
Probably the Giants. Otherwise, I'm guessing you wouldn't be talking about this right now.
Yeah, so what is the over-under on DeMarco Murray's rushing yards?
I don't know, but did the Niners really run all over them last week? Niners like to run the rock.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That, you know, their commitment to the run is up and down. But yeah,
I mean they're gonna.
So
they're
what's
gonna
the over under?
I don't know, 125 yards.
All right, that seems conservative.
Really?
The guys we're talking about is Terrence Williams, who nothing has changed for him the entire year. He started out, you know, he was converting some of his low volume of targets into touchdowns early in the year, and now he's pretty much fallen off the planet. We said to sell high at the time, because he just wasn't seeing any volume, and now, you know, he's seeing similar volume, and he's not converting those targets into touchdowns. And that's just kind of how the game works. So I don't know. He'll probably see 5-6 targets against the Giants, and if he converts one or two into a long play or a touchdown, he will pay off, and he's also at risk of a goose egg if he doesn't have an efficient game.
Next meal.
And finally, Monday Night Football, it's the New Orleans Saints hosting the Baltimore Ravens.
No Brandon Cooks for the Saints. When we talked to Travis Spieth, the million-dollar man on the AFC podcast, he really liked Colston and Stills. The Daily Fantasy, Evan, so interesting how he, like, builds two teams, one with Stills, one with Colston, because he feels like he knows one of them is going to go off. He just doesn't know which one. Do you agree?
Yeah. And that's a tactic that I would probably take in a tournament as opposed to if you're just playing head to head. You usually want to use the same lineup in all your head to head games. Whereas in a tournament, you know, you can diversify and just hope one of your lineups hits. But I agree with all of his analysis, and you can go listen to it. I thought it was spot on.
What about the Saints in this game from a running back standpoint?
I don't know if Kyrie and Pierre Thomas are going to play yet. You know, it's still we're still kind of early in the week, so we'll see. I think that Mark Ingram has proven himself, even though he was not effective last week, he's proven himself that he's someone you want in your fantasy lineup. I don't know if the arrow is going to start pointing down on him because the Saints are going to start involving other guys.
Yeah, you're right. It'll be interesting. Plus, the Ravens – see, I don't like the running backs in this game because the Ravens' defense up front is pretty badass.
Right.
I think their best bet is to go to the air with Jimmy Smith out for the season.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that. It's just Mark Ingram is going to be a good bet to, you know, plunge in at the goal line probably.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
It's getting to be that time of year. Playoffs will be here around the corner in your fantasy playoffs. That'll do it for an NFC Fantasy Feast. Really, really appreciate those of you guys that download, listen to it, and spread the word via social media. We're going to do this thing year-round, and your support is a big reason why. All we ask for or need is just one little way of supporting the podcast, whether that's a retweet or a like, or you sign up at stamps.com, or if you need to buy something at Amazon for the holidays, you can go to rostucker.com or the link that we tweet out at Ross Tucker NFL, at Evan Silva, at RTF Podcast. And Amazon, it takes you to a little landing page that they track back to us. So there's a lot of ways, if you like what you hear, that you can support it. And we really appreciate those of you that go the extra mile. I think we're done here, and hopefully you are fed. Good luck, everybody.
Thanks for downloading the Fantasy Feast Eaten Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast as well, all of which are available at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Just in the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want, then register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.